listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing. Hi, Rach.
Hi, Nick.
How you doing, my love?
Yeah, fine.
Four-letter word, fine.
Fine.
And eyebrow raising and don't ask anymore, punch me in the arm, don't talk to me, that kind of thing.
Do you know all the Pretty Woman quotes as well as I do?
Oh, yeah, go. What do you got?
Yeah, when he's like, fine. You've only said like, I don't know what the number is.
How many times since we...
How many fine since we left the racing? Got another word? Asshole. There's a word. Fine.
I think I liked fine better.
I think I like fine better. Mm. I'm a bit up and down. How are you?
Yeah, bit up and down, must say. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether is it partly weather related. We've had some weird, humid. Paul was investigating the term go troppo yesterday because he was saying to the kids, this humidity, it does something to people. Like it actually has an effect. There's a thing that people say going troppo.
Right.
And the kids were like, what are you talking about? Uh-huh. So, of course, you know, Dr. Google came out. Going troppo, yes, it does. The humidity does have an effect on your body. It does have an effect on your brain. Mm. And it's been ridiculously humid and hot at night, so tough to sleep. I mean, you know.
Storms kind of and kicking just, everything up.
There's an energy to that stuff that's kind of oppressive, and there's this pressure that builds up, I reckon. And we've had some emotional little bunnies at home. I mean, and, you know, me included in that, I would... Big emotional bunnies, little emotional bunnies.
Yeah.
So it's just been like that, I think.
Yeah, I'm finding it hard to distinguish, like, is it just me? Is it just our family? Or is this kind of like systemic and global?
No, so universal.
Good to know everyone's in the shit.
Yeah.
Helpful.
Yeah. Because when we're all in it together, at least you can empathise and, you know, you can be there together.
Our other thing is everyone's sort of getting sick with like just mild coughs and colds.
Ah.
My theory being now everyone's kind of slowly going back to interacting with people, not having to be so cognizant of all the COVID safe stuff.
Ah.
COVID is like probably not being well spread in the Brisbane community at the moment, but
other things.
We've had just weird colds and bugs be passed through us, and one of my admin officers cancelled, had to be sick 2 shifts this week. So I'm like, I'll cover it. And then, I'm just way too busy.
Yeah. Overwhelm. Yes.
But I'm very excited to be here talking Nemo.
Oh my God, we're talking Nemo.
One of my absolute favourite characters.
Yeah.
I have my little Nemo mascot sitting here with us.
Yeah, he's looking at us.
I want to take a photo of you and me with Nemo.
Oh, I am not photo ready today.
You,
however, chopped your hair again and it's gorgeous.
I'll filter you. I have gone troppo and chopped the hair even shorter. Might be bald yet. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know I once shaved my head?
No. When did this happen?
Little known Rach fact.
Well, look.
I think it was, let's blame it on a quarter life crisis.
Okay.
Mid-20s.
Right.
I think I sort of was just like, I just want to mix it up.
Yeah.
I did kind of cut it short. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, look, I'm only a hop, skip and a jump away from totally getting the clippers out. And I was like, why not?
Yeah.
And it was slightly, why the hell not? But then I felt really bad because a lot of people kept saying to me, oh, have you done Shave for a Cause? And I'm like, yes. Hand me some money. I will pass it along.
Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed is that I got interesting looks from other women. I think that I was projecting a little bit of a kind of like same-sex interested kind of vibe.
Okay.
Which was weird because I was like, looked at in a different way by women walking down the street. Oh.
This is new.
Yeah.
Fascinating. I like that.
But, you know, mostly it was probably a Britney Spears moment.
Mm.
Did you watch Britney Spears?
I haven't. I've recorded it. Framing Britney. Framing Britney Spears. If you've seen it, let us know. I'm interested to know. But, I recorded it, so I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah. Apparently she was, I'm sick of being a commodity.
Yeah.
Please leave me alone. I'll shave my hair. Can leave me alone.
I'm not surprised, honestly.
Yeah. And then, like, as I watched the documentary, it was on TV the other night, and I found it last minute.
Mm.
Our internet's been dropped out probably by the storms.
Yeah.
So we've had no internet at home, so we've had to watch actual TV. And then
hubby and I
are like, this is actually really relaxing.
Because
we watched Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with the kids.
Yep.
And the kids are fascinated by ads. Oh, what's happening? What's this car like? We're like, can we mute it on the ads? And they're like, no, I want to watch it.
This is interesting. What is this
novelty?
I love it. Our thing is Tipping Point. We got addicted to Tipping Point. It's a UK, it's on Channel 9.
Right.
But it's a UK game show and it's just delightful. And at the end of it, when everyone gets kicked off, you know, if they don't, they've reached their tipping point and off they go.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, thank you, Ben. I've had such a lovely day. Like it's just the most delightful British thing.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, so we're considering not reinstating the internet.
Mm. That is an interesting choice.
But, you know, probably not for long, but maybe just like another week or so.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, there's
still broken.
There's no internet.
Yeah, I love it. These are things that sometimes are really good to do just to detox.
Yeah.
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 But if you had no internet, you could not watch Disney Plus and find Finding Nemo. So that would be sad.
So I did like the Framing Britney Spears doco. I thought it was quite good. Yep. Oh, yeah, I was going to mention, like, after she shaves her head, she gets these really bad, very obvious hair extensions. You can see the teeny tiny little kind of, like, connections.
Yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't just go a wig at that point.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're talking Nemo.
Let's talk Nemo. I don't have a segue from Britney to Nemo.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I attempted it. It wasn't good. So we chose Nemo because of the whole connection to childhood anxiety, that kind of thing, and partly because of Small Two's, you know, sleep anxiety that I talked about in the little mini-sode, and we were going to wrap it into this episode as well. But tell me why you love Nemo from a therapeutic point of view, right?
Yes. So I have Nemo sitting with us and I have a wall of little Disney characters.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I think, I don't know exactly when it occurred to me. I mean, I've talked about this when it comes to Elsa and we've talked about Inside Out and all of that kind of stuff. Soul last time was giving us that sort of spiritual message. Yeah. I don't know if Disney is meant to be about child anxiety, but it's certainly this hero's journey where it is about Nemo discovering himself, facing all sorts of trials and tribulations. But I think what clicked for me is that the fact that in some ways it's more Marlon's journey than Nemo's. Nemo, Marlon's the dad. Nemo's the one who kind of goes missing and has all the adventures, but it's actually Marlon who has the character arc and he changes.
Yes.
Because he's extremely uptight, overprotective.
Well, you know, when you see your wife get eaten at a very formative stage of your child's life.
And all the eggs.
And all the eggs.
Hundreds of eggs.
Yeah. Mm. And it's so Disney, isn't it? The mum has to die. Somebody has to die. Like, what is that with Disney? There's always a parental death.
Yes, I know.
It's very, it's intense.
Yes.
So, yeah, but it's interesting that that parental anxiety leads to Nemo's kind of anxiousness, but then he starts to realize, I guess, that that is just a thought, it's a feeling, it's a belief, and he actually starts to test that in his own way and challenge those beliefs, which I think is great.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, my theory of when he goes missing is that, you know, being so cloistered, being so kind of under wraps by the dad means that he doesn't have any kind of exposure to kind of, here is a little bit of a scary situation and let's teach you how to handle that. So he gets annoyed one day and just sort of swims off into the deep blue ocean.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's just kind of have no risk and then just go into like total risk, which I think is kind of, something that I see a lot with kids and their parents.
Yes.
That sense of, especially when it comes to, say, adolescence, not wanting to kind of allow kids to go and explore.
Yeah.
You know, the holder, the tighter that we try to hold on to them, the more there is that kind of need to break away from those bonds.
Yep.
But actually how dangerous that is, because you're out in the big blue ocean where anything could happen to you with actually no life skills.
Yeah. Well, and that's the polarity thing, isn't it? You know, you go, if you hold so tight, you go from 0 to 100, then you go all the way to the opposite. Whereas if you're not holding so tight and you're giving the kids the ability to take small risks and understand their limitations and understand, you know, what it means and consequence and all that sort of thing, then they don't have to make that leap so far because they've done it a little bit. They're kind of in a safe and more controlled way rather than by the time they realize they want to take risks, they're in that adolescent zone. It's like, okay, well, who can I sleep with? What drugs can I take? How much alcohol can I drink?
Yeah.
What can I pierce? What can I tattoo? You know, like it just goes
to the other extreme.
To the other extreme.
Correct. Mm. My husband always has this parallel with growing pains and the, what's his name? Keaton?
Siva.
I can't remember. Anyway, the teenager, like, so the parents are like super, super liberal, and the kids ends up being really conservative.
Oh, okay. No, you're not talking Growing Pains. You're talking Family
Ties. Oh, Family Ties. Gotcha. Yes. The Michael J. Fox guy.
Michael J. Fox.
Gotcha. Yeah. I do get those two confused. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. You need to rebel against something, don't you?
You know. That's his form of rebellion. I'm going to, you know, wear a suit and tie and get a business degree.
Yeah, and be a complete Reaganite. It's hilarious.
Very funny.
I know. We love that.
Yeah. But so, all right, I want to talk quotes.
Go on.
Because there's this lovely moment when they're inside of Whale's mouth.
Yes.
And it's this real come to the clincher kind of moment where they're caught inside this whale. They're getting so far away from Sydney, which is where Nemo is, and this great journey, and I'm going to find my son. And they're caught inside the whale. And Dory, because she's just so beautiful, is like this mindful sort of spirit guide. It's like, let's just float in the water.
Yeah.
And that part when the whale is going to burst out of his spout and all of the water sort starts to drain, and Marlon's like, whoa, what's happening? What's happening? And Dory's like, I don't know what's happening. Let's just go with it. And he's, oh, I can't. She's like, let go. Everything will be okay. I love that part.
Yeah.
I think it's such a good kind of metaphor for that's what we need to do in life sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My other favorite quote, I can't remember when it happens, but at some point they're talking about, like, he's freaking out. I've got to find my son. I've got to find my son. And, you know, I've got to keep him safe so that, like, nothing happens to him. Nothing needs to happen to him. And Dory's, nothing ever happens to him. That's not a lot of fun for little Nemo.
No, exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that, because that is the thing that, as a parent, it is such a struggle, because you don't want anything bad to happen to them. But by the same token, they learn from things.
Mm.
You know, we learn most from things that are slightly traumatic or a little bit scary or a little bit wrong, or you know, those things embed much, much greater in our psyches.
Yeah.
So you need that space.
Mm-hmm. You can't have the fun without the fear.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the yin and the yang.
Yes.
It's always got to be balanced by something.
And then my third favorite quote is what was personally my birth mantra.
Oh, really?
Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Is that what you said to yourself as you were?
It's what I intended to say to myself.
Okay.
I did both pregnancies. I did baby yoga.
Nice.
That was a little bit, it was yoga, but she would also kind of talk about sort of, you know, getting in the right kind of mental state for withstanding contractions.
Yeah.
And it was maybe an extra weekend course or something, but I remember the teacher talking about that it's helpful to have some anchoring point and that each contraction is like a wave and it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
And as they get like closer and stronger, each wave is bringing you closer to your baby.
Mm.
And your job is just to keep staying there. And there's nothing else that you really have to do.
Yeah, just let them crash. Every time they come in, let them crash.
Yeah, correct. So I went into birth with that as my intention.
Nice.
Just like my birth playlist. I don't know if it actually got any air.
Yeah, we did the whole music and bring CDs and a little CD player because, you know, we're old.
Yeah.
and so, you know, we did that whole thing and there was, you know, massage oil and I think there was, I don't know, nice smells and I like.
Yes, yeah. All the stuff.
All the stuff.
Yeah.
That just did not get a Guernsey.
I do know with my littlest birth that I've got a lovely playlist and it's called Open, Flexible, Slippery.
Nice.
Because that's the other thing that the yoga teacher was like, open, flexible, slippery.
I love it. There's hand movements, guys. You're missing out.
I mean, it sounds kind of gross if you haven't had a baby before. There is an opening.
Yeah.
And if you're flexible, you can move around the pain.
Yeah.
And also, you got to get the juices flowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I listen to the playlist sometimes, but I do have this memory I had really hard and fast contractions. He was overdue and lots of Braxton Hicks. And when labor actually kicked off, it was probably 4 hours from kind of labor to birth. Mm-hmm. And so I pretty much had like back-to-back contractions right from the start.
There's no taking a break there.
There was no listening to the soothing music and having ice cubes. But I remember distinctly I wanted silence.
Yes,
and me too. Ben was like, would you like your – and I'm like, shut up. No.
Mm.
No. So no, I didn't use it, but I think it helps that idea of having a mantra, like a little kind of, it's like our word of the year in a sense, that little totem.
Something to hang your hat on.
To just be like, here's what I need to do. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
I think it's
swimming,
a mantra swimming, that a lot of people
what do
use.
You do whenever you swim? Swim.
I suspect it's something that a lot of people use in their lives.
Mm.
Because, you know, sometimes you just have to keep swimming.
Yes.
There's no other choice.
So.
There's no fanciness. There's just keep going.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So here's my segue.
Yeah.
How are you going with the swimming, with the trials and tribulations of assisting your little man to kind of just keep persisting?
Yeah.
How's he going?
He's going really well. Overall, really interesting. The recording that I did was obviously, you know, we're about to embark on this journey. first night was fantastic. He was all in. Yeah, let's do this thing.
Pause. Do you want to do the setup again in case someone didn't hear our bonus episode?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So, small two, 8.5, didn't go to sleep on his own. Either Paul or myself, who would take, we'd take turns, lying in his bed, holding his hand until he fell asleep. Mm-hmm. If you tried to escape and he wasn't quite asleep, oh, you'd be there for another 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So we were not getting an evening in any shape or form, any night, basically. Mm. We'd be, you know, exhausted by 10:30, wanting our cup of tea, and weren't then getting ourselves into bed till, you know, later and just being so tired.
Yeah.
So, the whole premise of, it's actually a skill you need to learn, but you need to learn to get yourself to sleep. It's really important. He was all in. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Night one, success. You know, a few times in, listened to his meditation for the, you know, the sleep meditation that we have for him. And, he was asleep after a few visits in. Night two, I've decided that this is not a good idea.
Aww.
I will raise hell. There was tears. There was, you know, recriminations and all sorts of stuff and all sorts of carry on, and we stuck firm. So we got through that one. And look, it's been a few weeks now. I think there's probably been two more meltdowns since in the intervening times. He still knows that it's important, but he is really craving that contact. So snuggles in the morning in bed, we've kind of switched to, and snuggles on the couch before bed, and you know, all that kind of thing that we're doing that is fulfilling that need for him. But our whole thing with him, that mantra is you have survived 100% of the times that you've gone to sleep. 100%. You've got a really good strike record, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, so there is nothing to fear here. We'll check on you. Everything is good. We are here. He's got very particular requests about where we sit when he's in these intervening 10-minute sort of slots of us checking in. But look, he's doing really, really well. He's trying hard.
Here's what I wanted to tell you, that my daughter has been very, very similar. But I think that our approach to it from the get-go was to try as best to kind of buy into the stay with me for ages and ages and ages and ages kind of pattern.
Wise.
I think, to be honest, we probably initially flipped a little bit too far into like your brother.
You're on your own.
Your brother is sleeping just fine.
Yeah.
And the clock is ticking and you need to be able to do this. It also helped for us to recognize that she was just more of a night owl and her brother was more of a morning person. So she wasn't as tired when we put her down to rest as what her brother was.
Yeah, gotcha.
But also there was that kind of, a bit more trouble getting herself off to sleep and a bit more of the kind of, now my mind is thinking about things. And now I can't put myself to sleep and I need you to come.
Yeah.
We've had her like screaming at us.
Yeah.
Why can't I sleep? And she's like, do the thing to help me get to sleep. I can't do the thing. I don't know what the thing is. Unfortunately, it's just your brain that's going to put you to sleep.
So what are her particular picadillos? What are the fears that come out for her?
Look, she didn't even really specify any kind of fears quite so much. It was more just the frustration, I think, of missing what my husband calls the sleep train.
Oh.
I always catch the first sleep train, so I didn't know what he was talking about. I close my eyes, the train pulls up at the station, I hop on and I'm done.
Wow.
But there is some neuroscience around this with sleep that, you know, you kind of, your brain starts to settle into those kind of slowing down of the brain wave patterns before you go into sleep. And so if anything interrupts that kind of gradual slowing down process, you're going to miss that first sleep train. You come back up to the station, then you have to kind of be like, now I've got to settle everything back down again.
There's been a delay.
And if nothing disturbs it, you know, so if there's not a noise or, you know, so yeah, that was another thing of my daughter. I can hear you washing up.
Wow.
Like that would really rattle her and take her out of that sleep process.
Gotcha.
And then it would be, okay, well, we'll come in again. How are you? Comfort. Glass of water. Now we go again. That kind of thing. So when you were sort of, oh, that pattern of settling and then leaving, settling and leaving. We've pretty much had to do that with her to some degree her entire life.
Yeah.
She's getting slightly better, I think, with age.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
She's, goodbye, I'll put myself to bed now, right. Just this year.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need to go you to go through the ritual.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it. But I will miss not having all of this other stuff as well, let's be honest. Because, you know, number four, you kind of.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's taken so long as well. It was the reticence to let that go.
Yeah.
But his thing is, you know, the monsters, the burglars, the murderers, the zombies, like they're all coming for him at that time of night, which
all
is
feel
hilarious.
Very real. Yeah.
Very real. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And all the fears that Marlin had were very real for him,
for sure.
Nemo. You know, he had them in his own right and then had them on behalf of his son, you know, that protective kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very real fears.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to challenge that in your own mind as a parent and as a human in the world is actually go, is this thought true?
Mm.
Is what I'm thinking true? Where's my evidence to support the thinking that I've got right now? Because I think it's really interesting to challenge those little things that keep popping up all the time.
Good job doing your CBT.
Thank you very much.
Perfect cognitive therapy. Noticing thoughts, challenging thoughts, rational thoughts. You know, although it's a bit harder to do that with kids. Because they do very much kind of experience their emotions in a bit more of a, it's a sensation, it's a visual kind of idea.
Right.
Because they're not so worldly and they haven't developed that, you know, how do I categorize things? It's very easy for them to kind of make a negative association with something because they're so little and they're learning all of the time. If I sort of gave you a bit of a bad experience as a, you know, 40-something-year-old woman, you've got enough other experiences that it's a bit easier for you to twist your head towards the alternative.
Yeah.
Whereas for kids, it's like, well, actually, I've encountered this situation twice.
Yes.
Once it went well, the other time it didn't.
Yeah, so I've got a 50% strike rate here. Yeah. I don't know which way it's going to go.
Also, I don't understand. What's the maths that's about probability?
Yeah.
I don't understand probability, so I don't really know what you're talking about. And it becomes really, really frustrating as a parent because it's just like, what if you can't rationalize your way out of those fears?
Yeah.
So that's why it's so draining. And I want to emphasize that you guys did a wonderful thing of being present and available and settling and soothing him when he had that need.
Mm. It felt like a long process of giving in. I have there's my picadillo, that feeling that you're giving in to a child.
Yeah.
I that's something that's really strong in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
I don't want to give in to them.
Yeah.
Because that's my whole thing is my train takes off.
Yeah.
It's going to go to consequence land and there will be a million different things that happen on its way to consequence land that are terrible and I need to stop it here at this station right now.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So giving in means, you know, he's never going to get himself to sleep for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Like
those memes that are, you know, no parent of a 25-year-old is rushing across town to hold their hand. They will get there eventually.
Mm.
But both things are true.
Yes.
Like you can feed into the worries by taking them seriously enough that you as a parent are also devoting a lot of attention and concern.
Yes.
Like there's sort of like that idea of like feeding the anxiety that it thrives on that attention and response.
Like horses smell fear, like they smell or anxiety.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids know.
You know, and so, and I think it's also just about the kids' temperament. What is it that they're going to respond to? I legitimately think it's slightly experimental as a psychologist. Does this particular child need a bit more of the straight talk, tough love? Because that's actually containing. Like, that is, I'm brave, I'm strong, these worries are not here. They're not. But it's hard to do that in a way that's not punitive and the child feels left and alone.
Yes.
You know, and everyone's different. So your strategy is about noticing that he has this need for felt safety and that when he's feeling scared and all those worries kind of come to him at night, he doesn't have his safety cup filled enough to be able to kind of combat those in his own way.
Yep.
So you're finding ways to help him experience safety before he kind of gets into that stage at night. That's what I heard.
Look at us doing things. Doing things we don't even know we're doing.
That's what I heard. And the other thing I heard, and you said on the bonus episode that you got this off the internet, your job, that what you were doing is an exposure hierarchy.
Yeah.
So rather than just say, okay, if we just leave you, that's what we call flooding. Mm-hmm. We're just going to leave you sitting in the feared stimulus.
Yes.
Now, by the way, flooding apparently has really good research outcomes.
Interesting.
Because if you dangle someone out a window,
yep.
they can't panic forever.
Yeah.
They eventually acclimatize.
Wow.
And eventually kind of, because your body has like this panic response, but it expels all of your adrenaline, cortisol, all of that energy all at once, right?
Gotcha.
Eventually it's going to calm down. And then you can be like, okay, so the thing I was worried about didn't happen, right? So it's kind of like I'm scared of flying or I'm scared of spiders or whatever. You can just chuck someone in a spider pit. The idea being they're not going to freak out forever. They're going to freak out and then they're going to acclimatize. And then they'll be like, wow, I didn't die. We tend not to do that as psychologists though. And also there is a risk that maybe they don't acclimatize. Maybe they just go into kind of dissociation. And then it becomes like traumatizing. So graduated exposure is this kind of compromise. When you avoid that situation, the fear becomes even more real and becomes self-sustaining. So, you know, you guys sort of doing the fixing for him was just, he's kind of developed this mindset like, I can't do it for myself.
No, and I can externalize it and give it to you. And I don't have
to. All-powerful mummy being. You make the monsters go away.
Well, it's actually all-powerful daddy more than anything. He is such a daddy's boy. His attachment to Paul is really, really strong. And so, you know, he's externalized a lot of things to Paul to take care of for him. You know, us taking turns putting him to bed was a compromise because Paul was exhausted. And that's been years of that. And then it was like, it was we're ready now.
It's also complicated because you don't want to, like, you don't want to risk breaking that bond.
No, absolutely.
That has been developed, you know. So, and that's why this graduated approach is, well, we'll just kind of take little steps at a time and see how you go. And, you know, you guys have done fantastic.
So far,
there is
so good.
Always a process of like a few steps forward, a couple of steps back, just so long as overall the steps forward outnumber the steps back.
And no one's super traumatized in the meantime. I think that's important too.
But I think it's also important to keep in mind, like, I remember this with our kids in terms of, like, say, sleep training, which again, I wouldn't say we sleep trained in that kind of the way that word has come to be used. But we did definitely sleep encouraged, sleep guided. You know, I just remember, like, at certain points of time, you go, this is becoming a problem. But do I have the resources to put into changing this right now? Or am I just going to have to be like, this is how it is? And then, you know, 3 months' time, when we're in a bit more of a settled space, that's when we'll have the resources. Because it's pretty intensive.
And I think that's a lesson for all of parenting. And it's something that I've certainly, when people have asked for advice about this, you know, is it wrong that I'm X, Y, Z? Or, is, you know, am I doing the right thing for something else? It's like, is it working for you? If it's working for you, what does it matter? If you think it's not working for you or you're worried that it's going to be causing damage, then sure, you can change it. Do you have everything you need to make that happen? And at the time, we didn't, you know, we didn't have everything we needed. Mm. We weren't all on board to this idea of helping small two sleep. And didn't have the wherewithal, energy, you know, capacity to do it until we did.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it was working. He was getting to sleep every night.
Yeah.
It was, there's something really nice about holding a little pudgy hand that's still, you know, with the dimples. Still got the dimples. He still hasn't lost his little dimples. His knuckles haven't formed in yet.
Yeah.
I love that about little humans. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. It's the best thing.
Yeah.
And that's a really lovely, so it was fulfilling needs on both sides.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the whole thing about parenting.
Yeah.
If it's working, let it work.
Yeah.
If it's not, then you can change it.
Yeah. And not everything that's broken down needs fixing immediately.
No.
Because actually with any change management process, it's the planning that is really the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
Which again is that kind of perspective of what do we think is happening here? And, you know, having like a, what we call a formulation as psychologists, it's like a roadmap of what we think is kind of generating these responses.
Yeah.
And therefore, which lever do we kind of have to pull on in order to change that pattern around? Because if you get that guess wrong, then you end up doing a junk intervention. Which sometimes happens because our formulation is just a hypothesis, our best guess of what we think is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, I could talk about this forever.
I know, I love that.
Not.
I love it.
Nemo is awesome.
Yes, indeed.
And don't do flooding. Don't get your son lost and halfway around the world. Then you've got to face sharks. And
and it's very intimidating when you're facing a shark, whether you're a tiny little clownfish or whether you're a human, I suspect.
Not everything that you're scared of, like sharks, is necessarily all that bad.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
What else?
What else is that kids need a certain amount of freedom to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put a plant in a spot and you then completely cover it with your, you know, with your body and smother the darn thing, it's not going to get enough water. It's not going to get enough air. It's not going to get enough sunlight.
Yes.
Kids need all those things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give them air.
Give them air.
And also I think like we sometimes think anxiety, the antidote to anxiety is no anxiety, no feelings. And I don't think that's true. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is healthy, natural, normal human response.
Yeah.
I think it's more like reframing it as a need for safety.
Yeah.
Because that's like what you guys did. You've got to kind of think, okay, if I'm not going to be kind of feeding the anxiety, what's the thing that we want to kind of create more of and that we want to grow inside of this person?
Yep, yep. And the idea of not being fearful of anything is scary to me as well.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think that's to be scared of. What we would call antisocial personality.
Yes, exactly. But you can hold your anxiety or hold your fear next to you. Thanks for trying to keep me safe. Really appreciate it. Love you for it.
Yeah.
Don't need you right now.
And if anyone wants a good book and resource, Hey Warrior is a really cute book for this. I can loan it to if you'd like.
Ooh,
you can take
please.
It back to small two.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, it kind of it has this little kind of character that's the amygdala.
Oh, lovely.
And it's sort of also a play on this idea of warrior.
Ah.
That your amygdala is like a warrior. It's right. trying to go to war to protect you.
Nice.
It just sometimes is picking up the sword when it's not really needing it.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yes, please.
I know. It's very, very cute. That's oh, I have heaps more books.
Oh, my gosh. You have lots of resources.
I do.
And lots of really cute toys.
Too many that I can't actually read. All right. Well, on that note.
On that note.
Let's go read some books.
Indeed.
Hug your babies.
Hug your babies and be kind to yourselves and each other if you can.
And people know where to catch us.
They do. Also, you know, subscribe and rate the podcast so people can find us. Mm-hmm. And also, as we always say, make suggestions about things you want to hear about next time.
Yes.
Rach is going to do her mini-sode at some point.
At some point.
Very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll get that happening this week, next week maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you next time.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.